Let us turn again to Psalm 119 and let us read again and consider verse 32. Psalm 119, verse 32. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Well, this psalm has a great deal to say about the Bible. There was a stage at which the Bible wasn't complete. David had the law of God, thinking of the law just now as describing the five books of Moses, but because the commandments are there, and there's much by way of commandment besides the Ten Commandments, but the law is also used to describe the whole Word of God, whether in David's time or now. The whole Word of God is expressing God's will as to how we should live. And there are many prayers, many petitions in this psalm, and we are one of them. I will run. Well, no, it's not so much a prayer in itself, but no doubt there's a prayer going with it, and there should be. And that should be the case with perhaps almost every part of God's Word, that the statements made should suggest a prayer. The commandments given should suggest a petition. When we are told, for instance, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, what petition or petitions should we have suggested to our minds? Well, give me grace to keep the Sabbath day holy. Give me grace to keep the Sabbath day holy. Help me to make a proper use of the benefits of the Sabbath day, and so on. In particular, help me to get good for my soul from the preaching of the Word. But what we have here is a resolve, which is very close to a petition also. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. So we can turn that round, as it were, and pray, enlarge my heart so that I may run the way of thy commandments. You might think of expressions like walking in the way of God's commandments. Now that might mean everything that is to be suggested here by running. But on the other hand, running, naturally speaking, is more than walking. And if we are walking in the way of God's commandments, then we should be asking for grace to run obediently. He's wanting his heart to be enlarged, as it were, to be made bigger, to have more capacity Perhaps you could say to him, or ability to go through this world obediently. That one would have a good entrance into heaven at last. When the end of our journey through this world comes to an end, that then welcome would be, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And yet, that will be true for all God's children. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord, however weak they were, however hesitating they were, still they will be welcomed in to the joy of heaven. But what I was meaning originally was that there would be, as it were, a special welcome. Surely the Apostle Paul might well have got a special welcome compared with somebody in one of the congregations of the time who was, so to speak, inside the door of the kingdom of God, but only just. There was Paul, and he was running, we would say, in the way of God's commandments. And there was somebody else, and he was just crawling along and no more. But whoever that might have been, he got to heaven, according to the description I have given. But you see, this is put in the Word of God so that every child of God would be constrained to ask, to run, to ask for grace, to run in the way of God's commands, not just to crawl. And even although one would be crawling, and nothing more, if we would be in the kingdom of God, if we would be looking unto Jesus, however weakly, however much we might question where we are, still, if we're even going in the right direction and no more, then we'll get to heaven. But you see, there's this to be making progress and good progress. Whatever would be true of us, if we're heading in the right direction, that's a great, great matter. A great matter. And that's what we should be seeking. That's the first thing, to be in the kingdom of God. And let us ask ourselves, are we going in the right direction? Have we entered in at the straight gate? Have we gone even a little along the narrow way that leads to everlasting life? Oh, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked, not just the grossly wicked, not just the murderers and the adulterers and the thieves and so on, but everyone, those whose sins are pretty well hidden, let them seek, let them call upon the Lord. Let them cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Well then, I have 4 points, and I will try to be brief on each of them. The first point is our fallen condition, which is implied our fallen condition. Then, secondly, what is true after conversion? They are going in the way of God's commandments. But what about running? Yes, though that is a separate point. But just what is true, at least just now, of the situation of a sinner after conversion. Third, the enlargement of the heart, when it is capable of doing more. God's grace in making the child of God be more active in the way of salvation, to be making progress, the work of the Holy Spirit in the heart, so that it is capable of more. And then fourthly, the running. Running in the way of God's commandments, not just walking. There's no hard and fast distinction between the two, but one is more than the other. First, our fallen condition. Before we even begin to walk or to crawl in the way of God's commandments. Two, after conversion. What is true then? Third, the enlargement of the heart. And fourth, the running in the way of God's commandments. Well, our fallen condition. And you see, the Lord is telling us in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 at the end, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now perfect usually means upright, not absolute perfection. But when we think of God in heaven, perfect means perfect, without any flaw. That's the standard that is being set for us in this world. But in our fallen condition, we do not need, we do not achieve that perfection. Not the holiest of men. I mentioned Paul. Even he was not perfect. We might refer further to him. He wasn't perfect, but he had grace. But there was still sin in his heart. And because of his insight into sin and the seriousness of sin, he was calling himself a wretched man and asking, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Spiritual death, so powerful still in his soul, and he was able to recognize that. Do we? We need God's grace for that. Teach me, we should ask. Teach me what is implied by the perfect way of thy precepts. Teach me that I am coming far short. Teach me how much I need. Teach me how much more I need the salvation, if we have it at all. How much more I need the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. Well, the point just now is how far short we come, whatever we are, whether we have God's grace or not. We're certainly not perfect, and that's the standard that is being set. If we want to know what we are spiritually, let us begin by looking at the standard that God sets We need to know that we are sinners, and we'll never know what is meant by being a sinner unless we have some knowledge of what the standard is, the standard that is set for human beings, the standard that is set for angels as far as that is concerned. Though the holy angels are perfect on their own level. It's not, one might say, the perfection of God, but it's a real perfection. But, you see, to refer to what I quite often refer to, and that is the whole string of negatives in Romans chapter 3. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. We're sinners. We're all sinners, but just now what I'm thinking of is the sinner that has not been forgiven, the sinner whose heart has not been subdued, even a beginning of that. Oh, what a poor way sinners are in when they're outside the kingdom of God. What a dangerous position to be in. Not having begun to take the way that leads to everlasting life. That's our danger. That's our position. Yes. So what is the Lord saying to us? Many a thing. But this in particular. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Remember the narrow gate. We can't come in with our baggage. We can't go in, come in with our resolve to go on in sin. We can't come in with our self-righteousness. The gate is too narrow for that. We need the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. And can we say that the Lord Jesus meets sinners at the gate? He draws them to the gate. But you see, especially, we need grace to enter in through that gate, through Christ himself, you see. Christ himself, who came into the world to save sinners, and he has exalted a prince and a savior to give repentance and forgiveness of sins. Are you struggling with the thought of not being able to enter in, not being able to believe in Christ, not being able to turn from your sins? Well, think of this. Christ is one who is able to give repentance, and that includes faith. Sometimes repentance includes faith. Sometimes it's, to put it like that, it's just repentance, though the two will go together. Focus your mind on that word, give. It's not something to be earned. It's something that is given, given freely. Well, you see, it's all of grace. Deliverance from sin, deliverance from the power of sin. And as far as that is concerned, running rather than walking in the way of salvation, it's all of grace. But let us go to the second point. What is true after conversion? Yes. They have entered in through the gate. They have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit has come to work in their souls. Yes. And they go on along the narrow way. They have entered in at the straight gate. They have been drawn. Can we think of the Saviour stretching out his hand to the struggling sinner, trying to find the straight gate, we might say. And the Lord stretches out his hand and he draws the sinner in. He gives faith to that sinner to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And put it another way, the good shepherd has come out to go and search out the lost sheep. It's a different figure, but that basically is what the Savior is doing. You can put it in a number of ways. Pictures that the Lord has given. Yes. Pictures that the Lord has given. To help us. Like pictures in a child's book. So the Lord has put pictures in the Bible. Now, I'm not talking about what we normally speak of as pictures, but, or even illustrations. But they illustrate the truths that we are to learn. They give light on these things. They help us to understand these things more easily. Comparisons that the Lord gives. The kingdom of heaven is like. And you've got a parable following. The Lord is putting it in words that comprise a picture. What is gained and to be gained from the illustrations that the Lord uses. And they are throughout the Bible. For the good of sinners. Yes. But you see, a great thing that is to concern the child of God is, I must make progress. I must make progress. I must go on. I can't stop here forever in my present spiritual condition. Yes, I'm talking about somebody in the kingdom of God. But at whatever spot that person has reached on the way to heaven, there's no permission to stay where they are. They must make progress. They must go on. Whether it's walking or crawling just now, they must move on. You might be saying it's scarcely crawling itself. Well, so be it. But these things don't have rigid definitions. Just that there's a comparison or a contrast between one thing and the other. And I'm, of course, adding in the idea of crawling. But there's that man. And if you were alive in his time, Paul's time, you would say he can run quickly. Spiritually speaking, he can run, and run very quickly. And what is he saying? He's thinking of being in a race. And he is saying, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. So that he would arrive at the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The end of his life, which took place in a Roman prison. But you see, he had been running. He had been running in the race. Perhaps he set off running from the very start. There's tokens of maturity in the earliest references to his spiritual experience. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Perhaps what the Savior said to him in brought out that question very readily. Never mind. You see, his prayers were evident marks of grace in the eyes of the Lord. When he told Ananias, "Behold, he prayeth." There's a change in this man, you see. He's a changed man. He had plenty of prayers, but they were all his own. There was no grace in them. There was no living desire in them. He was just following the traditions of the Pharisees. But, you see, I follow after. I'm following the Savior, perhaps he would say. I follow behind. I can't keep up with him. And yet, one might say that the Savior allows the converted sinner to keep up with him by himself, in a sense, going slowly. You see, the saved sinner is following Christ. Hardly walking just now. Perhaps limping along very much. And yet, is there not something of a limp in the running of the more advanced believer? Something of a limp because of sin. There'll be no limp in heaven. But there's a limp in the movement of every child of God. I haven't attained, says Paul. I'm still limping. Might have been for him to say I'm running rather than walk. But you could go into his desire to the extent that that was possible. You could go into his desires and see that's what he's wanting to do. And you see, verse 25, my soul cleaveth to the dust. He hasn't made much progress, or so he feels. What does he need? Well, his answer to that question is a prayer. Quicken me. According to thy word. Quicken. Give me life. Or give me more life. Revive me. Put more life into my soul. Or perhaps it would sadly have to be. Give me back the life that I once had. You see, the children of God can fall back. Yes, not as lively as they once were, not making such progress as they once did. Yes, but where are you to go? If that's the kind of way you're thinking, where are you to go? Oh, quicken me. Give me life. Give me more life. May the Holy Spirit work in my soul so that I would have more life than I used to have. Yes. Well, enlargement. That's the third point. Enlarge my heart, it is. It's not put in these words. But you see, that's what goes with it. When thou shalt enlarge my heart, is this suggesting the faith of the psalmist that God will bring on the work in his soul? That God will yet bring on the work in his soul. He is able to do that. And he will do it. You see, By God's grace, the psalmist could speak in that way. When thou shalt enlarge my heart, when thou shalt give it more capacity to love, more capacity to believe, more capacity to make progress. Yes. Might suggest the idea of growing. Here is a child, a spiritual child. And if children stay the same size for any length of time, there's something wrong. If the children of God are not growing, there's something wrong. Whether they can see it or not, that's a different matter. What can we do about that? Oh, to cast, for the people of God to cast themselves on Christ. And for the sake of Christ, to cast themselves on the work of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. Make me to understand the way I am to go on. Make me to understand many another thing. Make me to understand all I need to understand through the word. That's God's means of teach. He might speak to Moses as a man speaketh to his friend. Well, I don't think that could apply to anyone in this world in the same degree anyway. The Lord speaks through his word. That's the thing. And the believer may be reading in the word of God, and the word of God is saying nothing, so to speak. And then he comes across a statement. And you could say, the word of God comes alive. The Holy Spirit is applying that statement to his soul. That idea that there is in the word of God. The individual gets light upon it, we might say. His understanding is being enlightened. His understanding is being enlarged. Yes. Faith in the soul is enlarged. And every blessing is being enlarged. Every grace, or perhaps some graces particularly, some of the powers of the soul particularly. And then, to go on to verse 28, my soul melteth for heaviness. What does he need? He asks, strengthen thou me according unto thy word, according as God had promised. Quicken me. Give me life. Give me that enlargement of soul that I need. Give me life. Give me more life. Yes. When thou shalt enlarge my heart. You see, there is so much that is missing in the believer's experience, in the believer's progress. But though we will come to the believer's responsibilities yet, what we are at just now is this, the grace that God gives, the grace that is needed. And verse 30, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. What God has judged to be right, it's laid out again and again in the Word of God. And the psalmist has been given this in his soul, grace in his soul, to choose the way of truth. This is the way of lies. I think the expression is somewhere in this psalm. But anyway, that's what he doesn't want. And we could think today of the false teachings that are swarming around. The way of lies. That there is no God. That the world just came into existence by chance. Not to speak of all the corruptions of religious truth and all the corruptions involved in absolute false religion. Yes. Keep me from them, we should ask. And you see what a blessing it is when the truth is written in a person's heart. It's what they believe. It's what motivates them. It's what motivates their thinking. Is that not a great matter, a great blessing? What motivates a person in this world? And that's by God's grace. And we should be seeking that. And we can turn verse 30 into a prayer too. Make me to choose the way of truth. And we might say that the narrow way is a way of truth. The narrow way is a way of truth, or the way of truth. The true way. The true way of getting through this world. May we have it. May we be concerned to have it. May we be concerned to go on walking on that way of truth. And it's the one who claimed rightly to be the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, all these things I am saying can be turned into prayer. And we should be trying to pray in these ways. Wherever I quote some script, you're almost certainly going to be able to turn it into a prayer. Yes. The Lord is able to do it. The Lord does give the blind their sight. The bowed down does raise. The Lord does dearly love all those that walk in upright ways. So it goes on. Yes, put me in that right way. Yes, that's how we should be thinking. And then again, incline my heart unto thy testimonies. Give me more of an inclination to these testimonies. The testimony that God has given, the various testimonies that God has given, and that's the Bible from beginning to end. Individual bits of it. That's what God uses. But oh, that the direction in which my heart would be leaning would be towards thyself and towards thy testimony. That's what we need. Leaning towards the testimonies of God. That we have in his word, that we have in the preaching, when it keeps to the word of God as it ought. Well, it's all there. But it's the work of the Holy Spirit enlarging the heart. Well, finally, this running. that it wouldn't be just walk, that it certainly wouldn't be a standing still or a going back. There is such a thing as backslide. But what we're pointed to here is running. The way a Paul went along the way. And the way that Peter went along the way in his best times. He had his periods of standing still. He had his periods of going back. But by and large, this was Peter. And I'm sure we can say that it was very much Peter in these days after the resurrection of Christ. Yes, running in the way of God's commandments, making good progress. Yes, and we should be looking for that. It's a great thing to be in the kingdom of God. It's a great thing to be on the narrow way. But that's not all we should be looking for. We should be crying out for more and more. More speed. More strength. More understanding. That we might run. It's a race after all. You don't win a race standing still. Or taking a rest every few minutes. Oh, there's no place in the Christian life for taking a rest. We're to be running. Are you saying, or inclined to think, that's impossible? Ah, nothing is too hard for the Lord. That's the point. The grace of God. Yes, but you see, that we might run, we must lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race which is set before us. Let us lay aside every weight, everything that would hinder us. Runners wouldn't usually lumber themselves with a heavy bag on their back. They might do it to strengthen themselves, but that's not the point of Paul's illustration there. And sin, which so easily besets us, which so easily gets in our way, hinders us. Oh, what a hindering effect sin has, keeping back the believer from making progress. If that indulging in sin, consciously, especially, they're not going to make the same progress. Let us cast it away. That's the implication. Or more than the implication, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside every weight. Looking unto Jesus. That's the important thing. Looking unto Jesus, trusting in Him. See, whatever we pray, we're to be asking it for Jesus' sake. It's because of what He has done. It's because of what He is still doing on the throne of heaven. That's what we're to bring before the Lord, not our own works. Because there's sin in that. But looking unto Jesus, the Savior, for whose sake we can get the enlargement of soul that we need. For whose sake we can get the blessing on the Lord. The blessing of the Lord. Yes. Looking unto Jesus then, and you see, Paul, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He wants a prize. And were the games of the Greeks rewarded with a laurel wreath for the winner? That wasn't worth much. Oh, but what prize did Paul get? What prize did Peter get? What prize did Mary and Martha and Lazarus and Bethany get? Complete blessedness in heaven. That was the prize. They all run their race looking into Jesus. And they got their prize. And so will everyone here. Him. Get their prize. But you see, to get it with more assurance, that would be a great thing. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. Looking unto Jesus. Yes. And we should be asking that the Lord would give us who are in the kingdom of God, that he would give us greater assurance. Of course, people might be tempted to misuse their assurance, to presume, in spite of some sin. But you see, the Lord knows what is good for his people. And let us seek to follow Paul and turn it into prayer. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then there's the petition in the Song of Solomon. Draw me, we will run after thee. And that is telling us, apart from anything else, that if we're to be drawn closer to Christ, to run faster, then it's because of God's drawing power for the sake of Christ. It's all of grace. And then we might think of the words at the end of Isaiah 40. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Yes. They will make progress. But, you see, they that wait upon the Lord are the ones that get that blessing. They that go on trusting in the Lord, even although there's no immediate answer to their prayers, they go on waiting, and that implies trust. It's all of grace. And the people of God must be looking into Jesus. And those who are outside the kingdom, you are called. Look unto me. Trust in me for salvation, for all your needs to be supplied. Look unto me and be ye saved. Look unto me for grace to go in the way of God's commandments. Look unto me, the Lord is saying, for grace to run. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord. Take care of us. Draw us by thy grace. Bring sinners into thy kingdom. Bring them through the narrow gate. Take them along the narrow way. Give them grace. And give grace to thy people to run rather than to walk. Deliver them from smallness of heart. Enlarge their hearts that they may go in the way of thy commandments, the way that leads to everlasting life. Bless thy word, Lord. May we all get good from it. May others be gathered in to hear thy word. Save people from carelessness. O Lord, do us good. Hear us graciously and love us freely. Pardon us all our sin. Do wonderful things. Do wonderful things for thy children. Do wonderful things for those who are still outside the kingdom. Do wonderful things for the careless, that sinners would be brought at last with gladness great and worth at every side into the palace of the King to abide there forever. Pardon us our sin, make us thankful. Give us grace and more grace. For Jesus' sake, amen.